Just want to read from a verse in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2. The Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, page 1411 in this Bible. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, just the second line. Without Christ, aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. I just have an impression tonight on the subject of hope. There's not too much of it about today, is there? You know, if you've been having any notice of the news in the past week, you think, well, there's not much to be hopeful about. You know, the authorities, they'll wheel out a scientist and he'll tell you that hundreds of people are going to die. Wheel out an economist, he tells you thousands of people are going to lose their jobs. Politicians come out trying to terrify us with this, that and the next prediction. There's not much hope around in the world tonight, is it? Tell you tonight, you know, I come with a message of hope. And it's not my message, it doesn't come from me. Doesn't come from a scientist. Doesn't come from an economist. Doesn't come from a politician, even if you thought you could trust them. The message I have of hope tonight, you know, is a message that comes from the blessed God himself. The creator of the universe. The one who put the stars in the heaven. The one who made the earth. You know, the one who put the planets in their orbit. The one who made you. The one who made me. Blessed God himself. And he has a message of hope in the glad tidings. A message that's so wonderful and so beautiful, you know, that we love to proclaim it. The old, old story of Jesus and his love. It tells a message, you know, of salvation. A message of peace. A message of joy. A message of satisfaction. You know, the message that God has got for you in the glad tidings is unparalleled. There's no story that man could devise like the glad tidings. It takes poor, ruined, lost, wrecked sinners such as me, you know, and saves us for all eternity. Oh, what a wonderful message the gospel is tonight. When I started, I read this verse in Ephesians chapter 2. The writer here is speaking to a company of Christians. And he's just pointing out to them, you know, what they once were. He tells them, you know, how bad they once were. They've been converted. Wonderful thing, they've been converted. But he takes them up where they were. He says, you know, once you were without God. You were without Christ. And as such, you were without hope. Well, my friend, tonight, where does that find you? Are you without Christ? Are you without God? Because if so, you are without hope tonight. And I want to point this out to you tonight, my friend. It's my duty in the gospel. That you tonight, if you're without Christ, you're in a perilous situation. Urgent, perilous situation tonight. Because if you pass from time, by way of death, if you die tonight, passing into eternity, and you don't have Jesus as your Saviour, I have to tell you, my friend, you're bound for hell. The awfulness of the reality of my duty in the gospel tonight weighs upon me. That you, my friend, if you're lost tonight and you die, you're going to a lost eternity. You know, a sinner who dies in his sins will be raised in his sins. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after death, what? Is it the end? No, my friend. You know, the devil has a story that death is the end for all men. What does the Bible say? What does God say? He says that after death, the judgment. Solemn, isn't it? You know, you've got to face God. If you don't face him in your life here and find him as a Saviour God, you'll have to face him as a judge. You know, we once had a man that used to come and visit us at work, you know. And he said to us once, we were speaking to him about the gospel, and he said to us once, you know, I don't actually fear death. I don't fear death. He says, what I fear is the resurrection. And how true it is, you know. You can pass out of this world, you know, as an unbeliever. But you won't be raised as an unbeliever. Oh no, my friend, there's no unbelievers in hell. Let me tell you that for sure. The reality of what we face in the gospel, we need to face it tonight. And it's urgent. Because the day of God's grace, where he's sending out the message of hope, and I know it doesn't sound like a message of hope at the moment, where he's sending out his message of hope and joy and peace, is soon coming to an end. Soon coming to an end. If you haven't got peace with God, at the moment when Jesus comes to take every Christian to be with himself, you'll be left to face eternity without Christ. Without Christ, without hope. Oh, how solemn it is, isn't it? My friend, thank God tonight for the message we tell you is a message that meets hopeless cases. Love to think of that, you know, when Jesus was here on the earth. How many hopeless cases did he come into contact with? One after another after another. I love Mark's Gospel chapter 5, you know. Mark's Gospel chapter 5 is a catalogue of human hopeless cases. Absolute devastating effect of sin upon the human race. You have a man there, you have a woman there, you have a child there. And everyone, you know, is under the sentence of death. Everyone is a hopeless case. Every one of them has to do with Jesus. And they're translated, they're transformed, they're converted. Oh, how wonderful, you know. A hopeless case, if it's the hopeless case you are tonight, I can tell you that God has the answer for you in this precious beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. Oh yes, my friend, God has intervened in human race tonight to hopeless cases, and he's got the answer to your need in Jesus. You know, I was thinking of a case, a hopeless case that we read of in the Old Testament. Back in the book of Kings, you can read it afterwards if you're interested. Secondly, the first book of Kings, and it's chapter 17. And it concerns, you know, an area in Palestine, a place called Zarepta, which is now, I think, in Lebanon. And back then, you know, there has been a terrible famine in that area. At least 2 years, there had been no rain. The water courses had dried up. And, you know, the food supply had gone. The crops had failed. No fruit on the trees. People were starving. It was a hopeless situation. Many years ago, this was thousands of years ago. And, you know, into this area, this scene, there was three persons coming to. One, you know, was called Elijah. He was a man of God. He was God's messenger on the earth at that time. And then there was a widow woman. You know, she'd lost her husband. She was no one to look after her. She had a son as well. Sad, sad case she was. In those days, there was no social security, no minimum income, no help from government, no bailouts. You know, if you couldn't look on after yourself, then there was no one to care for you. And this poor woman, here she was, starving. And God had seen this lady, you know, and he looked down and he saw her condition. And he sent Elijah along to see her. He intervened in her life. He sent Elijah along to meet her. And when Elijah met her, she was out in the field just gathering some sticks together. Why was she doing that? She was gathering some sticks to make a fire. And in the house she had nothing left except a handful of meal and a little bit of oil in a container. That's all she had left. No more food, that was it. And what she was going to do, she said she was just going to make a little meal out of this oil and wine, cook it, eat it. Then her and her son were going to sit down and wait for death to overtake them. Oh, what a hopeless condition. What a terrible state that household was in. There was no outlook, no hope, no future, nothing. All they were going to do is sit there and wait for death. You know, God saw that household and he sent Elijah along there. And Elijah comes along and he says to her first, he says, well, get me a drink, which she does. And then he says something else to her. He says, I tell you what, he says, I want you to make me a little cake. She says, make you a cake? I've got nothing. All I've got is this handful of meal and a little bit of oil. And then my son and I are going to eat it and die. Elijah says, nevertheless, he says, you do what I say. You make me a little cake. And God will take care of you. So it was, you know, she obeyed the word of Elijah. She did what he told her. Made that cake. And you know what? For a whole year after that, the rest of the time of the famine, every time she went to that barrel, there was meal in it. And every time she went to that pot of oil, there was oil in it. You know, forevermore, you know, she was provided for. I want to just draw from that story, you know, into the gospel tonight. One, she was a hopeless case. Their condition was hopeless. They had nothing before them but death. their situation was terrible. And my friend, it's just a picture of the sinner tonight. That's just the human race tonight, you know. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And that's all lies before you tonight, my friend. A hopeless state you're in. Oh, my friend, how solemn the case of the sinner. The soul that sinneth, it must die. And God, you know, is a holy God. He cannot overlook sin. He cannot bypass your sins. If you've sinned, you're going to have to pay the penalty for them, and you have sinned. Wonderful thing, you know, it's that situation. Man's situation is hopeless. But you know, our God is not hopeless. Their condition was hopeless and helpless. They could do nothing to help themselves. And that's your situation as a sinner tonight. You can't do anything to take away one single sin that you've committed. God said to Elijah to go and visit that woman. God intervened in that household. He intervened in their life. And my friend, I can tell you the wonderful news of the gospel is tonight that God has intervened in this world and in its hopeless condition. God so loved the world. What has he done? That he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have life eternal. Oh, how wonderful is the intervention of God, you know, in the human race. He's looked down upon man. He's seen lost, ruined, helpless humans like you and me. But you know, God's heart is so great. He loves us so much that he wasn't prepared to let us go. He wasn't prepared just to let us go. No, God has come in, you know. He said, well, there's man, lost and helpless and hopeless. He says, I've found an answer. The scripture says in the psalm, it says, I've found a ransom. Yes, my friend, if God was to intervene in your life and mine, and be able to forgive us our sins, someone else had to pay the penalty for those sins. God is righteous. He can't overlook sin. It has to be paid. He looks down upon the earth. Is there any there that can take away the sins that you and I have committed? No. No, all have sinned. All have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. What does God say? He says, I'll send my Son. The one I love more than any. The darling of his heart, I might reverently say, the one that God loved more than any, his only begotten Son. And he looked down on the earth and said, the only way that I can save man is that my Son should come into the world and take the penalty that's due to men and bear it away on the cross of Calvary. And that's what he did, you know. He sent his Son. Think how much he loved you. To think of God himself, the mighty God, sending the one that he loved more than any to save lost, ruined, yes, hell-deserving sinners just like me. Oh, what love, you know. God has intervened in the activities of this world. He's intervened in my life. Let me ask you tonight, has he intervened in your life? Have you come to realise that you're hopeless, helpless and lost? And if you do so, my friend, have you found that Jesus is the one who's met your need by dying on the cross of Calvary, by shedding his precious blood, by going into death and removing the penalty that was due to me and to you? Thank God, you know, that Jesus didn't just die. Yes, he bore the penalty of your sins and mine. God judged upon Jesus the penalty that was due to me. Those sins that I've committed, he put on his beloved Son and punished Jesus there. Oh, what a wonderful story it is in the gospel, you know. Jesus took my place. Did he take yours? He did, you know, if you're believing. Thank God, you know, that Jesus was raised from the dead the third day. The guarantee, if you like, that God was satisfied with the work that was completed. And now where Jesus is, you know, he's in heaven in the presence of God. My sins were put on Jesus. They put upon him. Now Jesus is in God's presence today. Where are my sins? They can't be on him because he's in God's presence. They're gone. That's the wonderful thing in the gospel, you know. Jesus has borne the penalty for them and they're gone forever. Never to be brought up again. Oh, what a wonderful story of hope the glad tidings is, you know. Well, going back to our lady in Sarepta over in Lebanon. When Elijah came to her, he gave her an instruction. Told her something that she should do. Gave her a command. Thankfully, she obeyed what he told her to do. And because she did, she got the blessing. As I said, you know, that barrel was filled every day of food for them. And so in the gospel tonight, you know, God has done everything. Jesus has done everything for your blessing. He's done everything for your salvation. He went to the cross. He shed his precious blood. Bore the penalty, the punishment of God against sin and sins. Went into death. Was raised the third day. Jesus has done all that was needed. Raised again for our justification. He's done all that was needed for your blessing. But there's something that you have to do. Just like that woman, she would never have got the blessing if she hadn't have done what Elijah told her to do. You will not get the blessing in the gospel unless you do what God says to do. He doesn't ask you to do any great act because you cannot. There's not one thing you can do to take away your sins. Jesus has done it all. But what God does say is that you must repent and you must put your trust, your faith in Jesus and his precious finished work. That's all that's required. It doesn't take any action of yours to do it. You don't have to go out and do some tremendous activity. All he says is tonight, you must repent and put your trust in Jesus. How simple the gospel is, you know. How wonderful, isn't it? No wonder we say it's a message of hope. A message of hope in a world where there is no hope. Go back, you know, to that chapter that I spoke of in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Wonderful picture there, you know, there's a woman there. Well, firstly, there's a man there. And he's possessed of the devil. 2,000, I think, at least 2,000 devils possessed him. And they were so strong, you know, that even when they bound him up with chains, he burst them apart. Nothing could be done to restrain him. Oh, what a picture of so many persons today, you know. Human race under the power of the enemy. And that man, you know, there he was. Jesus came into contact with Jesus. Next thing, next time they find him, you know, after his interview with the Saviour, is he's found clothed and sitting at the feet of the Lord. It's lovely, you know. There he was, surrounded by death. He lived amongst the tombs. And that's the outlook of the human race tonight, is death. That's all that's before us, you know, as humanity, is death. As I spoke about hope, you know, how many hopes might you have in your life? You might hope to be rich, or you might hope to be famous. You might hope to get a good car, or a big house, a great career, a great job, something like that. Whatever your hopes are, in this world, there's one shadow that lies across every one of them, you know. And that's the shadow of death. It brings everything to an end. No matter how rich you are, when you die, it's gone, it's left behind. And you know, the shadow of death lies upon everything here. Wages of sin is death. But you know, thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, my friend, God is offering you life. While in this world you're surrounded by death, God is offering you life eternal. Life eternal. What is it, you know? That's to know the enjoyment of the presence of Jesus forever and ever. And that's what the Christian's hope is, you know. We're looking for the day when Jesus comes. He's going to come back to this world, you know. And everyone that's put their trust in him are going to go to be with him in heaven forever. A wonderful hope that the Christian has. Peace, the joy. And it's not hope, you know, that's just uncertain. It's not like we talk of hope as something we'd like to happen. The Christian's hope, you know, is certain. God has said it. I believe it. It's absolutely true and to be depended upon. Oh, is that your hope tonight? Let me ask you tonight, my friend, where do you stand? Are you without Christ and without hope? Or have you accepted Jesus as your Saviour? Is your hope to be with him forever? Wonderful thing, you know, he's coming. He's coming back to this world, this very same world. And he's coming here and he's going to come down from heaven. And there's going to be a great shout. Assembling shout, you know, the trump of God. Assembling shout. And every Christian, you know, that has died in the last 2,000 years, or every believer that's died in the history of the world, actually, is going to be raised. And then we're going to be caught up together to meet Jesus. You know, does it seem like a fantasy to you? My friend, it's the reality for the Christian. And then we're going to be caught up to be with him forever. Thus we shall be forever with the Lord. What a hope for the Christian. You know, is there anything like it in this world? What hope, you know, have you got here? Even the greatest hope you might have, as I've said, it's bound in my death. A Christian has a hope that goes on forever. Outside of death, outside of this sin. Oh, how wonderful. I trust, you know, tonight you might have this hope. You might be translated, you know, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Jesus has done everything that's necessary. All you have to do tonight is to repent and put your trust in Him. You're saved forever. Oh, may you do so for His name's sake.
Amen.